here. It's awesome to see what God is doing here at Connection Church and in this area. You know, God's doing something wonderful with this group of people and in this with this body of believers. Amen. And you're in the right place at the right time. And I just got to tell you, the presence of God is here. You know, when two or three are gathered in the name of Jesus, He's in our midst. And I'll tell you what, when the first note was hit, I mean, God's presence is here. So we come to worship Him and give Him praise and lift up the name of Jesus. And when you do that, He'll meet you at your level of faith. Amen. So, again, I'm Matthew Perkins, and Pastor Tim doesn't know me at all. I'm just kidding. We met a couple of years ago at a ministry function, and we've just built a friendship over the last couple of years. And I pastored in Lovington. I'm from Atwood, Illinois, which is just up by Tuscola, or Arthur. People know where Tuscola's at because of the outlet mall back in the day, and then people know where Arthur's at because everybody likes to go eat at Yoder's. That's where I'm from, that area, and I pastored in Lovington for 8 years and been on the road for 4 years doing traveling ministry, also lead worship, and graduated from Bible College in 2006 from Rhema Bible Training College in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and most importantly, just here to do what God has called me to do, amen? And so it's just awesome to be here with this group of believers today. But before I get started, I want to start with something funny to break the ice since y'all never met me before. An elderly woman had just returned to her home from a Sunday evening church service when she was startled by an intruder. As she caught the man in the act of robbing her home of its valuables, she yelled, "Stop, Acts 2:38. You know, turn from your sin. The burglar stopped dead in his tracks. The woman calmly called the police and explained what she had done. As the officer cuffed the man to take him in, he asked the burglar, "Why did you just stand there? All she did was yell a scripture to you." "Scripture," replied the burglar. "She said she had an axe in 2:38. Praise the Lord. All right. Did you bring your Bibles today? If not, it'll be on the screen for you. Go over to John chapter 5. And when you're in traveling ministry, there's always this, people have this temptation. It's like all these traveling ministers or evangelists flow. They always just have two or three messages. They just preach everywhere. But I don't believe that. I believe God has a purpose for each and every service when we come together, that we're not just doing this just to hang out and just have something to do, that God knew that this service was going to happen today. And He has something for you. And I was praying this weekend, and God really put this passage on my heart here in John chapter 5. And I want to talk about overcoming a paralyzed mindset. Overcoming a paralyzed mindset. You know, in our lives, Jesus wants us to have a firm foundation. We sang about it this morning. By the way, be thankful for your worship team. Doesn't your worship team do a good job? Give them a big, you know, hand. I mean, just be thankful. When I'm out on the road traveling and I lead worship, sometimes you when you're traveling and the worship team gets done and all these songs that were something, and you got to get on the keyboard and fix it, but I didn't have to do that. But, you know, God, you guys are blessed. Y'all are very blessed here. But we have a firm foundation of His Word. And when we have His Word as our foundation, we'll experience the freedom that He's provided for us. How many are thankful for what Jesus did for you at the cross? We'll talk about it a little bit, but I'm thankful that when Jesus said in John chapter 19 and verse 30, "It is finished," and when He said that, He didn't do a half job. And we know that God's Spirit is here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. We also know that as we get ready to read this story of Jesus healing a paralyzed man, we understand and recognize that Hebrews 1 and verse 3 says that Jesus Christ is the express image of the Father. And so we know that Jesus' earthly ministry, what did He do? He went about preaching, teaching, and healing. And we know that there were six particular times in the Gospels where it specifically mentioned that Jesus Christ was moved with compassion or ministered with compassion when He brought healing to someone. Of course, we know that every miracle and healing and everything that He did in ministry that He did when He was on the cross, everything that He did was birthed out of compassion. Amen? Everything that Jesus did was done with a heart of compassion and mercy. The story takes place at the pool of Bethesda. And Bethesda means in Hebrew, the house or place of mercy. But this man that has been lame, has been paralyzed for 38 years, he's not experienced the mercy that can only come from Jesus Christ. I want to read this story. John chapter 5 and verse 1 says this. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sea market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these days lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at the certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first shall, at the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, and had an infirmity for 38 years. Verse 5 tells us that he had been at the pool for at least some time. We know he had this condition for 38 years. Now, when I was a kid and I grew up in church, and my parents were children's ministers, and I remember we'd hear this story in Sunday school. I used to wonder why he didn't just get off to the edge, and then when the angel started stirring the pool, he just, stop, drop, and roll, right? But there's a series out that talks about the ministry of Jesus, and you'll see this, how they've portrayed this. It's just there were so many, the pool was so big, if you study this in the New Testament, there were so many trying to get in at the same time. But that pool provided this man with a false hope. I'm thankful that when we have false hope, that we've gone through situations and we put our hope in something in the natural that turned out to be a false hope. I'm thankful that Jesus came in and was authentic and gave us a hope that we could put our trust in, because he's a firm foundation. Amen. And so this impotent man was in a place of mercy, but was not experiencing mercy. And we've all been there in our lives at one point or another, where we were going through life and we felt like we were in the right place, doing the right thing, doing what God had called us to do, doing everything we could do in our ability to follow him with our heart, and yet not experiencing the promises we thought God had for us. We've all been there, right? And even though the paralyzed, the blind, the withered, and the lame were at the house of mercy, there were many there that had not received that mercy. And how many times when we didn't see something happen in the way that we thought we were going to see it happen, that when instead of just diving in deeper, seeking harder after God, we just back out a little bit, get complacent. Come on, is there more than one of y'all that have done that? I know I have at times. And it's easy to back away instead of to press in. And sometimes we get stuck in what's called a paralyzed mindset. That happens for a variety of reasons. Disappointment, fear. We know that fear paralyzes. You know, anytime that you're doing something and you put the hand on the stove and you freeze up. But fear will paralyze us. We know that. We recognize that. And we can get so paralyzed with fear, anxiety, even doing what God has called us to do. I know when I pastored a church for 8 years, 4 years into the church plant, because we restarted the church, we went through a situation and a scenario where we had a group of people leave. And instead of running to God, I tried to handle it my way, because I thought let me tell you something. God is smarter than we are. And we know that, but do we really walk it out? And I remember, instead of running to God to try to figure out how to fix the mess, anxiety starts hitting, panic attacks, all these different things. But I found out when I run to God and realize that he's our true source of strength, our true source of hope, our true source of mercy, I realized that I'd been paralyzed in my mind, I'd been paralyzed in the way I was doing ministry. And several months later, my lightning fast mind finally figured out that I better be running to him and put my hope in his firm foundation. And when I did that, the situation began to turn around. People came back. The finances came in. The church services, God began to do great and marvelous things again. But it was my paralyzed mindset that was stopping what God wanted to do. And we've all been there and we've all done that. And sometimes we think we get bound in our circumstances. We get bound by our circumstances because we're like, oh, I live in a small town. We blame our circumstances, we blame our surroundings, we blame our upbringing, right? We've all have excuses. And you can be in church today and be in a place of peace, blessing, healing, and joy, and yet still have a paralyzed mindset. But I'm going to show you how to overcome that today. Let's go on in verse 6 of John 5. When Jesus saw him laying there and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus didn't ask him for an excuse. But how many times do we, when Jesus asks us something, we have an excuse? It's just a natural reaction. The flesh likes to react to situations when we as born-again believers need to act on the Word and act on the promises of God. Instead of coming up with why we're not getting what we think we're believing for, we need to just go to the source of strength and source of hope. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was on the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that he was cured. It was the Sabbath day and not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. Let me tell you something. When you go forward in God, the people that will discourage you the most sometimes are not the world. It's the worldly people. Sometimes it's the religious people. People that say they know God, they look the part, they dress the part, they say they've been to this seminar, that seminar, and I've got 3 doctorates, all these different things. Let me tell you something. Sometimes, and I'm glad, aren't you thankful that you're in a church, Connection Church this morning, where not only you connect with God, but you connect with a body of believers that's going to encourage you in your walk of faith. You need to be thankful for that body of belief, this body of believers today, and the way that God has orchestrated the local church. I'll tell you what, when everything broke loose in March of 2020, that was one of the worst things that was happening. People were separated from each other, but let me tell you something, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And we stand here today. Yeah, come on, somebody. Because the enemy tried to use certain things to break the church up. And I'm telling you what, I believe the best days of the church are ahead if we'll just seek after him with our whole mind, heart, soul, and strength. Come on, somebody say amen. And he answered him, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Verse 12. Then they asked him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And it was he that healed wist not who had come, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth himself in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which he had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Jesus says something interesting in verse 17. He says, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In other words, he's saying, God's always been working, and I'm doing my Father's work. Aren't you thankful that even when it doesn't look like in the natural things are changing and transforming, he's always working? Aren't you thankful he never stops working? Verse 18, the Jews sought the more to kill him because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Instead of recognizing who Jesus was, they had an excuse. They were losing control. Let me tell you something. Jesus came to set you free. He didn't come to put you in bondage. And you need to be thankful that you are in a house of freedom today. You need to be thankful that you have a pastor and you have leaders that are preaching the in Christ realities, who we are in Christ, the freedom that we have in Christ. And if we'll renew our minds with the Word of God, we'll live an abundant life, a life of freedom. Not a life free of trouble, but when you go through those troubles, you understand and recognize that you are not alone. Hallelujah. And here's the thing we need to understand and recognize, that Looking at your circumstances will paralyze you. And sometimes we have an ability in our mind, I don't know about you, but in my natural tendencies, I tend to overthink situations. Anybody ever been there? It's like, I just wonder, if I'm going towards this goal, how am I going to get there? Is it going to be a straight shot? What kind of obstacles am I going to face? Is it going to take this long or that long? I like things to be in order. And I was traveling a couple of weeks ago, and I had my iPhone that I was using through my Apple CarPlay. I was taking a road trip. And what was interesting, I was getting ready to leave Florida. And as I'm leaving Florida in an area I'd never been in before, it actually said that I was driving in the ocean and I wasn't on the road. So here's my little arrow. I'm leaving the hotel and I'm thankful for where I've been. But I don't know how to get out of there. So because my GPS has me way out in the Atlantic Ocean. It's like run along the beach. I mean, the little arrow on my thing is it's all blue water. How many of you you just like to have your I's dotted, the T's crossed, right, and have everything in order? Let me tell you something. Life doesn't generally work that way all the time. And if we look at our circumstances, we think we eventually get stuck. The reality is, thank God I know north, south, east, and west, and I know how to get out of a place and keep going. I'm good with directions. But if I would have just relied on that GPS, I would have thought, I'm never getting out of here. I restarted my phone. I deleted the app. Put the app back on. It didn't work. And so I'm thankful that when situations and circumstances paralyze us in life, we can move forward. Let me put it to you, bring it home to you. A negative diagnosis from the doctor. Things in your family not going the way that we thought it was going to go. The enemy is attacking the family unit more than ever in the day that we live in. And if we give in to what the enemy is trying to do to tear apart the family unit, if we give in to what the enemy is trying to do in our government right now, you could get distracted for hours just watching what's going on and getting your blood pressure going up several points, just looking at what's going on in our world. The reality is it a surprise to God? It's not a surprise to God. Here's the thing. Jesus said all these things would happen. It's not a surprise to Him. What do we do? Instead of just backing away and getting paralyzed in our circumstances, press into Him and ask God, am I doing what I'm called to do? Am I bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those that need to hear it? If we would all do that, this nation and this world would see revival, and the political system would take care of itself. This world's evil system would take care of itself. Amen. And a lot of times we get upset wondering what's going on in our nation, and what we really need to do is look down in our hearts and say, God, what am I going to do to be the solution? Have I witnessed to anybody in bringing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I'll tell you right now, people need encouragement. They need to experience the peace of God. They need to experience the joy of the Lord. I mean, we know people that were doing well before 2020, and when lockdowns happened and sickness and disease, all these different things hit and the world just was rocking and reeling, went through depression like crazy. And we don't need to just gripe and moan and complain and say doom, gloom, and despair and agony on me. We need to say the joy of the Lord is my strength, and I'm going to move forward and give people that joy. Come on, somebody say amen. But we need to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. And so I want to give you four truths that we see out of this story, and they all begin with the letter W, so you'll remember them. I want you to remember this sermon 20 years from now, so just kidding. But that help us overcome a paralyzed mindset. Because if we could get our mind renewed with the Word of God and be the person that God has called us to be, we'll live a life of freedom in our lives, and we'll be bringing freedom to others. Amen. So the first truth we want to look at is His will. In verse 6, Jesus asks an interesting question. Wilt thou be made whole? That seems like an obvious answer. But Jesus is trying to bring this paralyzed man to a place where this man understands that Jesus is his only hope. In other words, there was nothing in that pool that was going to help him, because there was going to either be an excuse, there was going to be a reason why he couldn't get in there. And the reality is, when the angel would stir the waters, only one person could get it. But if people would run to Jesus, all who would receive would receive the salvation of the Lord. What Jesus is trying to tell this man is, nothing's there for you. Nothing's in this place. Although it has the label of House of Mercy, this is not the source of true mercy. The only true source of mercy is through Jesus Christ. And he declared that he had come on the scene, and he declared in this story, because he healed on the Sabbath, that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Son of God. He is the only way, the truth, and the life. Come on, somebody. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak are spirit and life. God's will is salvation for all of us. I'm thankful that when we got born again, when we gave our hearts to Jesus, that we have a home in heaven. Aren't you thankful for that when we leave this earth? That no matter what we face in life, there's no way that we lose. At the same time, everlasting life does not start when you get to heaven. Everlasting life starts when you give your heart to Jesus Christ. And so we will sing songs about the sweet by and by, and I believe that we don't talk about heaven enough. But let me encourage you and challenge you. God wants us to experience His goodness and His glory on this earth now. And John 17, verse 17 says that His word is truth. We need to understand and recognize that Scripture, we see throughout the Gospels, Jesus went about preaching and teaching and healing. I'm thankful that the God I serve is a Savior. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Giver of Joy. But I'm also thankful that He's our Healer. Amen. No matter what we face in this life, no matter what our circumstances are, I'm thankful that He said He would bring us healing. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. We see that in the Old Testament. He was Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Exodus 15 and verse 26 said that He is the Lord that heals us. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. I've been a recipient time and time again of the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been in places in my life where it seemed like all hope was gone, but God came through and touched my body. He came through and He touched my emotions when I was in a quote down season. But He came and lifted me up and gave me joy. I'm thankful that back in 2003, when I was driving my little car home from school one day, that I was stopped to turn off my Route 36 onto my country road at a complete stop waiting for traffic to come. And anybody remember the little Ford Tempos? That was my car right there. It was a beautiful red Ford Tempo until I got crunched. And this GMC 2500 pickup back in 2003 came and rammed into the back of my car. I just remember the car goes flying. I remember the glass flying on the left side and the right side of me. And all these different things, everything crunched up, but yet the Lord saved me. In that particular circumstance, I remember getting out because I was so mad that my beautiful Ford Tempo was destroyed. So I got out and told the guy off. Such a spiritual person. I got even madder once I calmed down. I calmed down initially. Then I realized I knew the guy that hit me. That made me even madder. But then I looked at the car, and then I looked at me, and then I looked at the car, and I looked at me, and I looked at the car, and I looked at me, and I got on my knees and said, "Thank you, Jesus." And then when the police was getting there, you know, the state police got there, and it's like, "Who's the driver of the car?" Because the seat actually had broken, moved. And they said, I told them I was a driver. Nobody believed me but God. God is faithful. God is faithful. And I look at the things in my life and look at how God orchestrates things. And I know that the number of my days He'll fulfill and He'll give me a long life. And I understand and recognize that if I'll just tap into what He has for me, He's going to lead me to places of peace and joy and healing. Amen. And what's interesting about this story is this paralyzed man had an excuse. I can't get in the water. We've all been there and done that. We think we have limitations. Anything that God has called me to do, I couldn't do it on my own. But God. When God called me to pastor, I thought, not in this. Of all towns I would have thought I was going to pastor in Central Illinois. First off, I never thought I'd come back to Central Illinois. When I left to go to Bible college, I left 3 days after I graduated high school, and I said, I'm never coming back to Central Illinois. God had abandoned Central Illinois never to return. Well, I'm thankful that my attitude has changed. Because as much as I tried to run, here I am back. And you know, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for home. Amen. Yeah, we've got issues with things, but I'll tell you what. There's just nothing like Central Illinois country living. Glory to God. But this man gives an excuse about limitations. I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I grew up in a small town. I couldn't get into the pool. I couldn't roll in. Nobody would help me. But Jesus is not interested in your past. He's interested in your now and in your future. And whether it's physical healing, emotional healing, family situations, instead of declaring the promises of God, how many times have we reverted back to just saying, I don't know how we're going to get out of this? If you can't say something positive, at least say, but God shall supply all my needs. But God will bring me through. You don't have to know how, because if you try to figure it out, you're going to overthink it and get back into doubt and unbelief. And I don't care what situation or how bad it looks. Trust God. Trust His Word. He will bring you through. It's His will. All of God's promises, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20 says this, all of God's promises in Him are yes and amen unto the glory of God. We need to be like David when trials and tribulations hit our life. He said in Psalm chapter 25, verse 4 through 5, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me my paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. God wants to see you through every trial, every circumstance. And let me tell you something. You may be in a place in your life where you feel like you're going through the valley of the shadow of death. But I love how the psalmist writes in Psalm 23 and verse 4, yea, though I go through. What does that mean? You're coming through. You're coming out. And when you get to the other side, it's when you get out on the other side of the tunnel and you see light, it's not going to be another train that you see. Amen. God is bringing you through. He's bringing you out. Amen. And here's the thing. We need to be people that are diligent in studying the Word of God. Because there will be tests that we face. When you were in school and you were studying, you would have to read your textbook and you would have to read the notes. Why? Because you knew that there was going to be a test coming. And it's the same in life. You can be born again and God loves you and He cares for you. And you don't have to be diligent with reading the Word of God. But let me tell you something. The tests and the trials and the tribulations of life are coming. And it's not that God is sending them to you. Sometimes you just live in a fallen world and things just happen. Adam's lease has not run out of this world yet. And so sometimes we think God controls every little move that we make. And sometimes we're just in this fallen world where people just do interesting things. Sometimes accidents happen. Sometimes things just don't go as planned because you live in a fallen world. All those things with this earth will still happen until this earth is destroyed at the end. But you understand and recognize no matter what you face, through it all, it is well with my soul. Like the old hymn says, when peace like a river attends my way. And if you read the story of how that hymn was written, you recognize that this man had lost family members on a ship that had wrecked. But even so, the writer of that hymn said, even so, it is well with my soul. Why? Because he had a firm foundation of who he was in Christ. And how many times we've had situations and circumstances hit us that we fell apart like a $2 suitcase? The reason I say that, I had one of those cheap suitcases I used to run around preaching in after Bible college. I'm like, yeah, and it would fall apart because it was a $2 suitcase. But understand his will, that he'll bring you out and bring you through. Thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Jesus. Man, I might just get excited in this house. Somebody ought to say amen or oh me or something. Because God is working in our lives. No matter what we face, he's bringing peace. He's bringing joy. He's bringing love. He's bringing healing. He's Christ the healer. He's my deliverer. He's my strong tower. He's the one that gives me provision. He's my Jehovah Jireh, who's more than enough. The God of plenty. No matter what kind of circumstance that we are in this nation, when it comes to inflation, bless God, my economy's not based on this world system. I'm trusting Jehovah Jireh. Oh, come on, somebody. That one, two people got happy. Praise God. So we know what his will is because his will is his word. Jesus Christ is the living word. We understand that. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Amen. So we understand that his will. Number two, we've got to understand the truth of walking forward. Jesus told the paralyzed man to rise, take up thy bed and walk. He hadn't done that for 38 years. How many of us have been stuck in situations for so long, we don't even know how to get up and walk and get out of that circumstance? The reality is the God that we serve is not a God that backtracks. He's a God that takes us forward. Come on, somebody say amen. How many times have we gotten to places in our life where we just stayed around, got complacent, or stewed around? I don't know. I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where things are not happening as fast as I want them to happen, and I stew around, right? When Moses led the children of Israel out of captivity in Exodus chapter 14, he had to continually remind them to focus on God, follow his direction, and ultimately go forward when it looked like an impossible situation. The psalmist in Psalm 84, verse 7, put it like this. He said, going from strength to strength. There's a principle in the Word of God. We go from faith to faith. We also see that we go from glory to glory. And we see that we go from strength to strength. In other words, we go forward. When you drive out of the rearview mirror, when you're just looking at what's going on, I remember just recently, I do a lot of driving for my day job, and I was driving down the road, and there was some road rage going on behind me, which is interesting, because when road rage usually hits, it's usually people are going fast, but I must have been going faster. I don't know, because it was happening behind me. Don't tell anybody that I guess I speak, but all that, they're like going after each other, and I'm driving out the rearview mirror, seeing all this happen, and before long, my collision alert's going off, because something's happening in front of me. Why? Because I'm driving out of the rearview mirror. And here's the thing. If we drive out of the rearview mirror, we're eventually going to crash. We got to be focused on where God is taking us and not focused on what happened in the past and what happened behind us. God has so much in store for us if we'll go forward. We need to quit wondering what it seems like in our nation right now. Every day, there's multiple things happening if you turn on the news, what's going on in our nation. And if we're not careful, we're like, what trouble is going to happen next, right? And in the natural, it seems like you pray for the United States of America and things are not changing. But I'm telling you what, if the church will stick together, I don't know what's going to happen with this world system, but God never forgets his remnant, bless God. And if we'll trust him and stick together as a church, as a body of believers, here in this local church and the church at large as a whole, the ecclesia, the called out ones, bless God, we'll move forward and the best days of the church are not behind us, but the best days of the church are ahead. Somebody should give the Lord a hand clap of praise or something there, because that's the reality of what God has for us. We have got to keep going forward. And you may feel like you're at a place in our life where it just seems like we're marching in place, marking time. But it's time for us to rise up and walk out of the misery. It's time for us to rise up and walk out of the mediocrity. It's time for us to rise up and walk out of the complacency. Rise up and walk out of the sickness, disease, confusion, and chaos. Rise up and look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith, who paved the way for us to have access into the promises of God, to have access to the salvation of God, to give us access into the presence of God. And bless God, if we'll go forward and go with Him, we'll rise above the confusion, the mediocrity, and we'll head into the fullness of what He has for us. Come on, somebody say amen. Woo, I'm stirred up. Which way do you run in this place? Is there arrows? When we walk towards Jesus, we are walking into our destiny. Come on, somebody say amen. Say, why are you getting excited? That seems weird if you get excited about the Bible. I think it's weird when we don't get excited about what God has done for us. Because He has a plan for us, and if we'll just walk in it and we march in step with Him, we'll go forward. Come on, somebody. The third point I want to bring out is the concept of wholeness. Jesus asked this formerly paralyzed man in verse 7, will you be made whole? And I'm glad that Jesus wants to get involved in every detail of our life. You could ask Him for one thing and He'll transform a whole situation. We serve a God that wants to transform our lives. He wants to bring us into a place where people don't even recognize where we came, recognize us from our former life. He's so good. I've been through situations when I came out on the other side, it was like I didn't even smell like smoke, just like the three Hebrew children. Amen. Because God has a way to bring you through a circumstance, bring you through a situation where it's not like you even went through that fire. Where it's like when you come through on the other side, it's not, you didn't even have a hair singed. You didn't even smell like smoke. But people knew that God was with you. Hallelujah. The New Testament Greek word for the word whole in this passage literally means whole, healthy, and sound. It's actually where we get the word hygiene from in the English language. In other words, you come in through and you come through on the other side and you're, I put it like this, you're smelling like roses. Hallelujah. Now, we live in a society where people are looking for answers everywhere to feel whole and to sense that they're whole. I was in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Taking this road trip, I had not been in Pigeon Forge in years. But I remembered when I was younger and driving through, you would see a psychic here, a mind reader here, a palm reader here. But those, quote, businesses, whatever you want to call it, there was so many more than there used to be in Pigeon Forge. And you'll see that in other areas. Why? Because people are looking to be made whole, and they're looking for a word, and they're looking for the supernatural, and they're looking in the wrong places. And they're looking for supernatural hope that only Jesus Christ can bring. There is not multiple ways to God. Up in Michigan, there's this movement in the Detroit area where they're trying to intermingle the faiths, and there was this flag that was made with these congregations that were getting together where the cross and the crescent moon for Muhammad and Jesus Christ, it's a modern-day version of Islam where they're trying to bring the two together. You cannot trust Muhammad. You cannot trust Terry Krishna. You cannot trust this world system. You cannot trust. There is only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, the life. No one else died for your sins. Now, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Muhammad, they're all dead. And they all gave false hope. Jesus Christ is the only one who did everything that He said He was going to do. He lived the walk that we lived. He lived the walk that walked the walk that we walked. And yet He did it sinless. And He went to a cross, died for our sins, shed His blood. The blood flowed down to the mercy seat. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the blood of Jesus is still flowing today. And he didn't stay on that cross. He didn't stay in the tomb. 3 days later, bless God, he came out victorious, took the keys to death, hell, and the grave, and now he's seated at the right hand of God. Over 600 people that we know for sure, according to the Bible, saw it. If you had one or two or three people see it, that would be enough for it to settle a court case. But bless God, there was multiple witnesses of Jesus Christ rising from the dead. And let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is the only way. And we're going to have to be bold and confident in that in the days that we live in. The world system will keep you coming back to them with temporary relief. Witches, warlocks, psychics, palm readers will keep you coming back and relying on them, and they'll keep asking you. And here's the thing, they'll pick up things that the enemy that gives them, and they're like, oh, this feels good, this feels great. But the reality is, the thief, which is the devil, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus Christ came to give us life more abundantly to the full until it overflows. Hallelujah. So we understand and recognize, although people look for temporary relief, going down that road is a dangerous path of darkness and manipulation, but bless God, Jesus Christ, His blood paid for our freedom. Man, I hope I get a little happy this morning. The reality of this, we're not to rely on man, we're to rely on Jesus Christ and His Word. We need to quit looking for magic to try to look for magical steps to get us to a place where we're whole. If there's a 12-step program that you need to follow this morning, it's 12 steps up to the altar to give your heart to Jesus, and it's steps up to the altar. Come on, somebody. Lockstep with Him going forward, because He's our only source of help and our only source of hope. God is not Aladdin. He's not a genie. He does want you to experience a whole new world, though. Some of you get that at lunch. Jesus gave this man a whole new world. And He told him in verse 14 to go and sin no more. So in other words, Jesus didn't just touch his physical state. He touched his spiritual state and gave him an opportunity to follow Him. Now I'm thankful that we could just go on and on and on. Jesus has healed me. He's saved me. He's blessed me. And it comes through. It's in Him that we live and we move and we have our being. Come on, somebody say amen. Jesus desires to do a work in us, spirit, soul, and body. When you see the word whole, it's more than just one healing. He comes in and He makes us whole in every area of your life if you allow Him. Jesus will get involved in every area of your life if you allow Him. I loved what we prayed this morning, because when we were praying this morning, one thing that the brother said was, let's lift our hands and surrender ourselves to Him. When you raise your hand, it's not something that's just going through the motions. When you lift your hands, it's a sign of surrender. I have never been, but if you've been arrested, you understand, you got to put those hands up on the car, right? No, when you surrender, you're opening up your heart. We were singing that song, a song gratitude, and I know it's not much, but I have nothing else fit for a king except for a hallelujah. And when you raise your hands to the Lord, you're surrendering yourself to Him. And what's awesome about this miracle is the man did not hide the fact. And then once he figured out it was Jesus that did it, he was not ashamed of who touched him. Don't hide what Jesus has done for you. Don't hide for Him. Don't hide the reality that He's made you whole. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid to share your testimony. Come on, somebody. We have a testimony. We have a message that the world needs right now. The world doesn't need another political solution. The world doesn't need another person's concepts and minds and steps to this. The world needs Jesus, because He truly is the answer for the world today. Jesus truly is. He'll make a way where there seems to be no way. And no matter how bad your circumstances is, He's come to make us whole. Continuously declaring to others what Jesus has done for you will keep you in a place of healing, I believe. I've seen people receive healing in their bodies and they didn't want to tell anybody about it. Then they reverted back to it because they were ashamed to talk about it. Don't be ashamed to talk about the things that God has done for you, because it keeps you conscious of who He is in your life, number one. But number two, it helps Your testimony will help so many other people. We all go through tests, and that's how you get a testimony. And we understand and we recognize that when we receive a miracle from God, we need to tell others, hey, God's no respecter of persons. If He did it for me, He'll do it for you. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm getting a little happy, but that's okay. The fourth truth I want to look at real quick is the concept of work. Jesus performed the miracle on the Sabbath, and the religious people didn't like it. In verse 16, we see the Jews plotting to persecute Jesus, and then when Jesus gave them the answer, then they wanted to kill Him. I like how He replied in verse 17. He said, in the New Living Translation, it puts it like this, "My Father is always working, and so am I." I love the song that says he's a way maker. And I love where it says He never stops working. He never stops working. And we have our religious ideas when we think that God should do things. I remember when I sometimes when you're in a church like this that believes God for God, aren't you thankful we're in a church that creates an atmosphere for God to work in the lives of His people? Don't be ashamed to invite people to church to see God work in people's lives. Because sometimes we go to places where they don't have a time at the altar. They don't believe that God is good and that He's still working in our behalf. He wants to get involved in every area of our life. And sometimes we're almost ashamed to invite people to church because what will they think? Somebody lifted their hand. Somebody shouted for joy. Oh my goodness, that's weird. You know what's weird is being depressed in a church and not experiencing the salvation that God has for us. You know what's weird is just sitting there, just so depressed and not tapping into anything, a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Oh, let me tell you something this morning. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath, and He can do with the Sabbath whatever He pleases. And I'm thankful that we're in a church this morning that Jesus could do whatever He wants to do in this service. And we don't force things to happen. You know, anytime revival breaks out in places, it's tempting just to get into that mode and just keep things going. But let me tell you something. I'm thankful that Jesus has come to set the captive free, and whatever He wants to do in this service and whatever He wants to do in any service, He's allowed to move here. I'm thankful for that. What is the work of Jesus Christ? It's a work of love and grace. It's a work of love and grace. It's a work of mercy. He wants you to overcome a paralyzed mindset. What did Jesus come to do? We sang about it this morning. John chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And when He was at the age of 33, He went to the cross, took stripes on His back for our condition of our salvation, but He did it for our physical healing too. And when He poured out His blood, Golgotha is called the place of the skull. Some scholars believe that the first Adam was buried underneath where the cross was, where Jesus died on the cross. How cool is that, that the blood of Jesus flowed down to the mercy seat and completely fixed the work that Adam messed up. And everybody wants to say that, when I get to heaven, I'm going to tell Adam what's what. You would have done the same thing, right? But when Jesus went to the cross, He said, it is finished. What was finished? The redemptive plan was put into motion. The veil ripped from the top to the bottom, according to Matthew 27 and verse 51. And the glory of God, we had access to the glory of God. All could experience His work and power. And let me tell you something. That's the work He wants to do in our lives today. He wants to bring us to a place of salvation. He wants to free our minds. Come on, somebody. He wants to free our minds from what's held us back. He wants to set our emotions on a path where we don't ride on the waves of emotions. We ride on the waves of the glory of God. Hallelujah. You know, I had not been to a beach in forever. When I don't know about you, but there's just nothing like getting on the beach and seeing the waves, and I don't go out and surf. I was always the music guy. I have no athletic ability. But you see those waves coming, you look at the goodness of God, and I just kept, there was an old song I was thinking, wave after wave. And so many people ride on the waves of their emotions and they're paralyzed. Why don't we ride on the waves of His goodness? Let me wrap this up this morning. John 8:36 says this, He that the Son has set free is free indeed. I don't know about you. I'm thankful that the chains have been broken. And whatever has captivated our mind is broke. If we'll trust in Jesus. His will is His word. The 4 points. His will is His word. We need to understand His will. And it's His word. Number two, we need to walk forward out of complacency and mediocrity. We've all got... I'll tell you, after March of 2020, a lot of people got complacent, and it's time to go forward. Past is the past. And I don't know what kind of situation has caused you to get complacent, but it's time to go forward. God's saying you don't have to stay there. God has so much better for you. Number three, He desires to make us whole in every area of our life, spirit, soul, and body. And we need to declare what He's done for us. Don't forget to declare the goodness of God. Declare His goodness in the land of the living. People need to know what God has done for you. And when you declare it over and over and over, it makes you happy too. You can run through a troop and leap over a wall. You might even get so happy you run through a wall and leap over a troop. I don't know. But let me tell you something. God has set us free and we need to be talking about it. Number four, understand that the work of Jesus, He showed us the express image of the Father, and the work was finished at the cross and through the resurrection. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's done everything He's going to do about our salvation. He's done everything He's going to do about our healing. He's done it all. And I think sometimes we're like a dog chasing its tail. And I have a dog, a German Shepherd, that likes to do that. She's trying to catch something she already has. But the reality is, the answer's already on the inside of you because Jesus is the answer. And you'll see that answer in God's Word. Amen? Understand that the work of Jesus is complete. Colossians 2:10 says, you are complete in Him. And if you'll believe these realities and understand them, we'll overcome a paralyzed mindset. Amen. And we'll experience and live the life of freedom that Jesus provided for us. Do you receive the word today? Let's pray. I'm going to do two things. First off, I want to make sure we're all family here today. And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus, today is the day of salvation. You don't want to miss an opportunity to experience His love for you. And I don't believe in fear tactics, but we don't know what this world holds. And let me tell you something. People don't want to talk about it, but there is a heaven to gain, but there's also a real place called hell. Separation from God, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth if you don't receive Him. Now, God doesn't send people there. It's what did you do with Jesus? And what are you going to do with what you heard this morning? If you're in this house this morning, Jesus is extending His loving arms to us and is opening up the door to us. So if you're in this place and you've never made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, you want to do that, just lift your hand in this house. I just want to see if we're all born again. Praise God. Number two, I want us to, if you say, Brother Matthew, this message about being in a paralyzed mindset has really gotten to my heart. It's not that you've left God or you're not following God or even not, but we've all gotten to places in our life where we were complacent, where we were just didn't know where to go because we got our eyes off Jesus. And we got the light of salvation is to get you back on track. And it's not that you're not living for God. You just got off and just got complacent. Or I'll use the word lazy. We've all done it. But if you're in this place and you say, and nobody's looking around this morning, this isn't something that anybody needs to be ashamed of, but if you say, Brother Matthew, I've gotten complacent in some areas in my life, and I've allowed the enemy to paralyze my mind with fear and anxiety, or just my situation that I was in, and I'm going to make a decision this morning to turn around and move forward and follow Jesus with everything within me. Go ahead and raise your hand up high so God can see it today. God can help you. I think a lot of us are in this place where we've had our mindsets have been paralyzed. It doesn't have to be in every area of our life, but there may be an area that we just are not letting God work, and God's saying, I want to work in that area. Go ahead and lift that hand high. Lord, I just thank you and I give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you and give you praise. We see those hands. We see those hands. Lord, I just thank you that you're setting us free from having a paralyzed mindset. And you're bringing us and you're helping us move forward into our destiny. Lord, we repent. We make a mindset change to move forward. We repent for looking backwards. Lord, we're going forward in you. And Lord, I just thank you for those hands that are lifted this morning and those that should have raised their hands. Lord, we just thank you that we're making a decision to understand your will, walk forward, and receive the wholeness that you have for us and allow you to do a work in our lives. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.